This is an AMI podcast.
Welcome to Double Tap Canada,
the show where blind people talk tech.
Have your say. Call us, text us to 844-971-1999.
That's 844-971-1999.
Tweet us at Double Tap Canada and find us on Facebook.
Just search for Double Tap Canada.
Now here's your favorite double tappers.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. It's me, Stephen Scott, here with you this week. Hi, welcome to the program. I am not fueled by caffeine today, I promise you. Just a little bit of caffeine. Just a little bit. Sean Preece is here. Hello, Sean Preece.
Hello, Stephen Scott. Caffeine and iron brew, the Scottish way. You sound full of it today.
Well, I've been told many a time I'm full of it, and I always take it as a compliment.
It is. Yeah. Something feels wrong, though. It feels like something's missing. I just don't know what it is.
Something?
Yes, well, definitely a thing. Something is missing.
Are you referring to Mark Afalalalo?
Of course, our favourite thing in the world. Where is he?
He's not here. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because we had to get in early and get this show done today. And, you know, for us, early is proper early. Not Canada early.
No. Yeah, but that's not the point, is it? You know, no matter what time of day it is, you turn up for a double tap. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the rules.
Well, you know, you remember when we did this show live for a few weeks on AMI Audio on the Thursday night, which was something like 1 a.m. for us.
Exactly. Yes. I used to drag myself to this shed. It was terrible. But I turned up. That's the thing. Commitment, sir.
I prefer, you know, a normal hour of the day. This is a normal hour of the day. So, you know, that's it. But if he's deciding to sleep through the night, then fair enough.
I can't blame him, yeah.
No, I know, he's quite right, actually. Why are we doing this? We should just have waited, really, shouldn't we? No, do you know what it is tonight? Because we're doing this on the Wednesday ahead of the Thursday airing on AMI Audio, and I am going for my leaving night for my other job. I work, as you know, I've told you before, at the RNIB. Well, you know this for sure, but the audience will be aware as well. I work at the RNIB. Not for much longer.
No.
Because I'm leaving the RNIB, so I have my leaving night tonight. So apparently this is not a thing in Canada. They don't call it that. They call it something else. But and Mark isn't here to correct me on my Canadian. So this show's going to be off the rails. you're leaving. What else would you call it? I mean, I'm leaving work, so this is a leaving night.
Yeah, no, exactly. The thing is, we couldn't risk how drunk you're going to get tonight and if you're going to be capable of recording tomorrow. Hence, we're recording today, just to make sure.
Also, I should just say my Amazon account has been suspended for the duration of this period.
Drunk lock.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, drunk leaving night party and Black Friday all in the same week. That's a very dangerous combination, let me tell you.
Sorry, absolutely right. I accidentally muted myself there.
That felt a bit weird for a second.
No, it's all quiet. I think I'm a little drunk. My phone's suddenly going off all over, so I muted. Oh, dear.
But yes, here we are. We've got a really interesting show coming up for you. Lots to talk about, including my latest purchase, not drunk purchase.
I mean, this is getting ridiculous,
I know,
honestly.
It is.
You're like that, what's his name? Elon Musk or whatever it is. I mean, how much money have you got? How can you purchase something ever? Oh! No, I remember trade-in.
Yes, that's right. Yes, trade-ins. Exactly. Going to talk about my later. Yeah, I am like that Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos.
We said last week, because you did say, you know what, I've got a truckload of stuff I'm going to take back, but I'm just going to get, you know, the trade-in. I'm not going to buy the MacBook Pro.
But you guys were convinced I was going to buy this thing.
Well, I'm excited to see what you did buy for this week's purchase then.
Yeah, you know I only do it for this program. It's only for you. I don't need any of this stuff. But I buy it because you request it of me. That's the problem. That's what I'm using as the excuse. That's what I tell my wife. I say, listen.
I was going to say, I'm not your wife. You don't have to excuse. You bought it because you wanted it.
Do you know what I love, though? I love my wife for this. So I came home and she said, what's that? And I said, I'll tell you.
It's a
new MacBook Pro. And she went, all right. And that's basically it. She's just like, of course it is. Stephen went to the Apple store and of course he came home with a new computer. Why wouldn't he do that?
Yes, we all knew it. It was bound to happen.
And I didn't just buy that. I bought myself a new, lovely phone case for my iPhone 13 mini. I know it's boring, but you know, I bought one from Amazon. And I kind of forgot the fact that some of the ones you get from Amazon don't have the MagSafe capability. So, you know, I put it up on the MagSafe on that little Belkin 3-in-1 we've got. And
yep,
it just fell off. And I was like, huh? And then I realised, oh, yeah, of course, some of them don't have the magnet in it or whatever.
I've got to say, that is a thing, right? Now we've got, oh, is this a MagSafe charger or not? Because now I've got that iPhone 12 mini, thank you.
I'm generous to a fault.
I've got a MagSafe little disc charger on the bedside cabinet there, but I can't get it in the right place for like a normal, like the iPhone 11. It doesn't quite, it's really tricky to get in the right place. So I've got another wireless little disc for that one. It's a bit of a nightmare. Though I did look last night on Amazon and I did see there is a iPhone 11 MagSafe compatible case, which makes sense because MagSafe is just magnets, right? That gets the charger in the right position. So you can get, I haven't tried it, but I am going to buy one, an iPhone 11, and therefore any iPhone which has got wireless charging, I would assume, case. And all it's got is magnets in the back, so you can use it with a MagSafe charger like the Belkin Boost Pro 3-in-1.
That's actually, so is that because the charging, I don't know what, the coil or whatever, must be in the same place? That's where the MagSafe would connect onto.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I suppose it actually doesn't matter where the coil is in the phone itself because the magnets on the case will make sure it's where the coil is. So it'll snap the MagSafe charger into the correct place. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to give that one a go.
It's either that or it's a huge scam and you're about to lose your money.
Quite possibly. But it's only, let's say 17 Canadian. So, you know what? I'm going to try it. I'm going to splash out. I can spend money too, Stephen Scott.
Oh, well, you go for it. I can't wait to see what comes out. Oh, look, something that's utterly useless. Brilliant.
Throw it straight in the bin.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever got something? And I think this is more of a thing than people like to admit, because, of course, these days we're all supposed to be eco-conscious and, like, for the world, man, and all that nonsense.
Well, I am, well, Stephen. Don't mock it.
Look, I'm all for the Earth. I'm a huge fan of it. I live on it. I mean, I couldn't be any more pro-Earth if I tried. I use all its resources. I'm a big fan.
You do.
I've got this lovely globe on my desk, and it's one of those ones. My wife got it for Christmas for me last year. I always wanted a globe, and they were doing like tactile globes, but they're terrible because they're always very... Kind of more built
tactile.
For children. Yeah, they're built for kids. You know, it's like, this is America. No, really. You know, it's some of it's a bit obvious. I want a bit more detail than that. But this thing's gorgeous. It's like, it's got like a plastic outer, but then the inside part of it actually moves during the day. It rotates during the day.
So that the Earth turns. It's a smart globe.
It's a smart globe, but it's all like water and gel inside it that makes it do it. I don't know how it works. It's all very fancy. It sits on this lovely little tripod-y stand. It's
That's
a beautiful
very,
thing.
Very posh, but, I mean, not accessible at all then. It doesn't speak or there's no tactile at all.
Hang on. Hello? No, it doesn't speak.
Oh, you would be so surprised if it did, though, wouldn't you? That would be amazing.
I'm the Earth. Stop killing me! Stop throwing stuff away!
So you didn't throw that away as soon as it turned up anyway, the globe?
No, definitely not. Right. But it would be great if somewhere on it just has this big arrow saying, this is where all your junk goes, stop doing that. I do this. I mean, sometimes you get stuff like, and you kind of go, oh, this is terrible, bin. And you do, you have a second of guilt. I mean, it's not like, it's not crazy
stuff. I don't
think
I've ever done that.
No, it's the option is return it, right? The other option is return it. But who can be bothered with that?
Oh, it's so much not hassle at all to ring them up and say, can you pick this up and take it away?
Remember my Dell Alienware? We'll pay you to keep it. That's what the Amazon told me. We'll pay you to keep the thing. I thought, wow, I've never heard that one before.
And you turned them down.
I didn't need it. And I don't need another radiator in my house.
Okay, you say that now.
Listen, I am happy with my... I've got this HP Omen, and I wouldn't have gone for this, to be honest.
HPO,
yeah. I wouldn't have really gone for this generally, but I got it in a sale, and one of those returns to the store, and you get some money off it type thing. You know, someone else basically like me, just bringing it back, don't want it.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'll take this, and it's a great PC. Really, really good, pardon me. So, yeah. So, anyway, I'll talk about the MacBook Pro. I won't talk about the phone case because I think that's pretty boring, to be honest. I'm going to tell you why I'm in love with the MacBook and also why I hate the MacBook today.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, it's a true love-hate relationship. It's emotional, frankly. It's an emotional story.
I'm so biting my tongue then, making sure I didn't say something I would later regret. No, tell us about that love story.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with our marriages.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. When I say I'm in love, I think I've mentioned about four times this week I'm in love with this Mac, and my wife's like, yeah, okay, stop talking about the MacBook. I'm still here, you know. Right, look, stick around. We're going to get into that. We'll get into the news as well. Some big news, tech news stories doing the rounds. We'll get into those here on Double Tap Canada.
This is Double Tap Canada. We'll be back in a moment. Hey, Double Tappers, want to get involved? Call the show now at 1-844-971-1999 or email feedback@ami.ca and have your say.
This is Double Tap Canada. It's a tech show. Honest.
It is, but I've just got to say this first, right? I'm such a nosy guy. It's actually quite irritating how nosy I annoy myself with my nosiness. So today, just before we started doing this, I was supposed to be reading through the notes. Well, no, that's a lie. But, you know, I'd put notes down and you were away, you know, what's the word? Spuriously? No, that's not the right word.
Someone I'll go with
that
it.
Word up, because I think that's the wrong word. And I think I've made a big mistake and career's ending. But, yeah, basically you were going through all the notes and you were doing it all very cleverly.
Thank you.
I've lost my ability to... Spuriously, yeah. I don't know what that word means. Outside, this big truck arrives, big flatbed truck. And I'm thinking, what's that? So I go to the window, peering out, trying to see what it is. And all I can tell you is it's a big, massive truck, big flatbed truck. And on the back, it's like big, long bits of wood or something. I don't know. So the neighbor's obviously getting something done, right? I don't know what it is. But I'm now thinking to myself, hang on. I did order an iPad stand yesterday. Have I ordered the wrong thing?
The wrong size. Wouldn't be for the first time.
It's like, wow, it's the size of... A house. It's an iPad house.
Well, how big's your iPad?
Your flat pack.
It's quite large.
12.9 inch. That's pretty decent.
Nice.
But
it's actually for your iPad mini. That's the trouble.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. It's just too big. So, yeah, there's me standing. And then I'm thinking to myself, what are they getting done? You ever done this? You're standing at the window thinking, what are they getting done?
I do that all the time. Even though I can't look out of the window. There's no point. But I can always tell when something's happening because I'll be talking to my lovely partner. And suddenly, I just know she's not listening anymore. I just say, your ears have pricked up, haven't they? She's heard something.
Yeah.
If we're out in a restaurant or a cat restaurant, who am I kidding? When we're out in McDonald's, you can always tell when she's listening to the next table because, yeah, it's obvious. We are nosy.
Oh, I'm terrible for it. And I'm actually having an argument with myself saying, you know, why don't they put it in my driveway? Because now they won't be able to put their cars in their driveway. So that means they're going to block up the street with all their cars. They could just have put it in my drive. They should have come to me and asked me that question. I wouldn't have minded.
Why didn't they come to me?
Why didn't they come and ask me? I'd have been happy for that to happen.
Do they hate me?
And then I was tempted to call them and say, guys, what have you done? And also, what's being done? What are you getting done?
Need to tell them my radio show.
Yeah, I need to tell the world what's going on next door. It's just, I tell you.
Yeah, you're a disgrace. We've established that. Well done.
So you know I'm leaving the RNIB. I'm starting to think I'm going to have too much spare time on my hands.
Yes.
This could be problematic. It's going to turn into
Nelly.
It's going to turn into a rear window over here. Anyway, yes, so I did buy myself a new MacBook. And I'm going to talk about that today because I know lots of you might be interested. I know you love the fact that I tend to buy this stuff, so you don't have to. But I want to get into something in particular that I... Because I love the MacBook, and I think that's fair to say that there's some brilliant stuff about the MacBook. There's one thing I don't like about the MacBook, and to be fair, it's more software-based, and that is Edge. Microsoft Edge. Now, I started using Microsoft Edge as opposed to Safari for a couple of different reasons. One, I think it's far more accessible than Safari is. Safari is a bit of a mess at the moment, especially on this new macOS Monterey. It's just not good.
So I hear.
Some terrible... You know, it used to get, as a blind user, if you use VoiceOver, you get busy, busy all the time. Apologies to all the guide dog owners. But... You know, you get this kind of busy, 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 busy constantly sometimes, especially if you're using an Intel Mac. That went away with the new M1 Max. I remember sitting here with my Mac Mini a few months back. Yeah, probably was a few months ago. This is about my first of my 10 computers this week. And I remember saying to you, it doesn't do it anymore. It's so cool. It doesn't do busy, busy anymore. And it didn't for a long time. And then macOS Monterey comes out and suddenly it's changed. It doesn't say busy, busy anymore. It says Safari not responding.
Oh, well, that's a change, isn't it? It's an improvement.
It's nice. It's nice to, you know, get an update on that. You know, it's nice for it to change its tack a little bit.
But does it keep saying it? Not responding, not responding, not responding.
It will do it maybe for a few seconds and then it goes away, you know, obviously depending on what it's doing. And I don't know if that's a program issue, if it's a web browsing issue, because is it the website itself? Because, you know, all websites are not created equal, right? So it's not a case of every website will appear in the same way.
No, of course not.
Or as quickly as others will. So that's fair enough, okay? If I go to ami.ca, it's there in a flash, which you absolutely should visit. Brilliant website. Yeah. Have you been there? It's great. ami.ca. It's full of amazing content created for you.
That was beautiful.
I think that
gets accessible.
I guess it's another year. So just a wee tick there. Thank you. Mr. F will be fabulous this week with that one.
You're welcome, Mr. F.
Yeah. Tip of the hat, if I was wearing one.
But honestly, check it out.
It's good. You really should. It's brilliant. Yeah, go there, because our lives depend on it. So basically, you go to that website on Safari or on any browser, and it's fast. But you go to other websites, it's going to take a lot longer. Go to The Verge, for example. I mean, it's so full of ads, so full of pop-ups. It drives you insane. So it takes a while. So those are the kind of websites that might slow it down. So that might be the cause. But I thought, well, let's try Edge. And to be honest, those same websites, even though they do take longer to load up, the whole program, the whole application doesn't seize up. That's the difference. The whole thing doesn't seize up when you're using it. So I do find it easier. I like the navigation part because, as you know, I was talking about this on the other radio show, which is sadly coming to an end. But I was talking about this on that show this week, and I was saying, you know, it's a bit like a kangaroo trying to work on the internet with a Mac, because it's constantly bouncing around. The focus is bouncing around all over the place. And if you've ever tried catching a kangaroo, which I haven't, but if you have, you'll know how difficult it is. So I've been told this by people in Australia. Catching kangaroos is not easy.
He made that bit up.
But that's the point, right? So the focus is jumping all over the place. If I go to a new website, whatever, even another page on the same site, the focus will bounce out and up to, say, the, you know, usually end up on the minimize button or, you know, on the toolbar or something, or on the address bar, and you just think, oh, come on. And then to get back is a bit of a faff. You've got to uninteract, you've got to go back and then reinteract with that particular...
Can you just tab back into the web area?
You can, but it depends how many buttons and things you've got open, and depends where the actual focus is. So sometimes you've got to get through a whole bunch of buttons to get to that. So it's not easy. And some of the information you get on Safari is quite confusing. So you might think, oh, hang on, I'm here. I mean, for example, if you end up on a tab, it'll make you think that you're on the website. You think, oh, I'm here. And then you hit H for headings and it just loses itself in the settings again.
Yeah. To be fair, though, I do find myself getting confused like that in Windows whatever as well. Sometimes the tab, because it says the web page title.
That's right. So you think, oh, I'm here. I'm on the content. Yeah. But no, so I'd switch to Edge and, I've got to say it's so much easier, because the key way to navigate Edge on a Mac, and I would imagine, I think it's the same on Windows as well, is F6. F6 is the key, because you can move from different parts, move around the browser. So if you want to, say, for example, as often happens, you go to a new website, you log in, and you get that pop-up on the screen that says, do you want to save your password? Now, it usually doesn't grab focus of that. It'll tell you the notifications there, but it won't draw focus to it. So you have to shift F6 to go back to that little pop-up. But if you want to go to the downloads, the downloads or one of the extension options or favorites or address bar, you can just shift F6 or just F6, essentially go around in a circle to the different parts of the browser. But, you know, if you do lose focus, you can easily get back. And I like that. I also switched my default search browser as well. I'm not using Google at the moment.
Sacrilege.
So much noise on it and so much stuff on it. So I chose DuckDuckGo, which is pretty cool. I actually quite like it. You know, heard of that one?
No, I've heard of it, you know, and it's been an option. I think they introduced it to iOS whenever, way back. I know it's, you know, privacy centric and whatever, but it's just something I never felt a need to use. But I mean, how much different is it to Google? Is it
easy it's just cleaner.
Go through the results?
Well, put it this way, right? So when it loads up on Edge, it depends how you've got your settings on the Mac set up, but I've got it to automatically start speaking the website once it loads, which actually does help because that helps draw the focus to it. What will happen is every single time you search, I tend to use the address bar rather than the search box on the page. I just find it easier to navigate because then I know I'm on the search field. I'll use that, and then as soon as the web page loads, it will start reading the search field, then it'll say search button, and as soon as it says search button, you can just start hitting H. But if you leave it, it'll just start reading the headings out. It'll just start going through it because there's no noise. There's nothing else around about it. There's not a thousand search results. I mean, like search results versus web results versus feature snippet from the web and all this stuff that you get on Google. You can jump past all that nonsense and just get straight to the thing you're looking for. The only thing I found is, I don't know if others have found this as well, but I have to, for some reason, VO space twice to get the result to actually activate, to get to the website. I don't know why. Because at first I thought maybe I'm on a heading rather than a link, but I wasn't a link. But you have to do it twice for some reason. Don't know why. But that's the only thing. That's the only thing I've found. I do like it. I mean, I think it's a really, really nice browser. Now, interestingly, we got an email from Gordon in this week. And he says, I'm hoping that you might be able to help with a small problem I'm having with Microsoft Edge on my MacBook. He's using it as well. And Gordon's new to Mac, a bit like me. I mean, although I've used the iPhone for a long time, and I've used Mac for a long time, with VoiceOver not so much. And I think we're all on a bit of a learning curve here. And certainly there's a learning curve on a Mac, I'll tell you that. But I am enjoying it. But he says, I do like Edge as a browser, and I use it with JAWS on my PC all the time. I also installed it on my MacBook a while ago and set it as my default browser. I should add that I also installed the DuckDuckGo extension. Well, I haven't done that. I've only used the website. He says, I've never had any problems until the most recent update to Big Sur as the operating system. When that came through, Edge was unusable. Every heading, link, or form field was reported as collapsed. Also, I could not read any content of any tables. Needless to say, I switched back to Safari as my default browser. Now, when I updated to Monterey as the operating system, Edge began to behave normally again in respect of the headings, the links, etc. But I still cannot read the content of any tables on a web page. When I locate a table, I get the usual instruction to use VO plus arrow keys to navigate the cells, but they simply don't work. Any data in a table is apparently invisible. I don't even get feedback on which cell has focus. It's as if the table is just a single block with nothing in it. Do you have any idea how I can access tables using Edge on my MacBook? The tables are perfectly legible if I use Safari or Chrome. It is only Edge that presents this problem. I know the easy answer is to use another browser, but this glitch is annoying me as I do like Edge. Any suggestions gratefully received. Thank you for your continuing excellent podcast, Gordon. I didn't add that bit on. He wrote that. He wrote that.
Himself?
He did. By himself.
Free will. That's amazing. Thank you, Gordon.
No money exchanged hands for that. It's amazing. I have to say, I'm with you on this. I didn't have the issues that you had with Big Sur. I started using Edge when I switched to Monterey. So I, interestingly, got to the table on a page the other day, and I had the same thing. I couldn't get it to work. And I actually thought at the time, to be honest, this is probably just me. I need to learn some command that makes this work. But you're right. It doesn't even... It doesn't let you interact with the table. It's as if it is just ignoring it. It doesn't read anything about it.
Do you have to... You don't have to interact with the table itself like a separate element, do you?
That's what I tried, yeah.
Oh,
and it does tell you to do that. It does suggest
that. Oh, it does say. Oh, right.
But because you use the VO arrow keys to interact, right? But no, it doesn't do it. It doesn't work at all. So you cannot get anything to read. I was on a page which had a table of keyboard shortcuts. And that was exactly the problem I had. I could not interact. Now, I did see that Gordon posted to Microsoft Accessibility Team. I'm going to do the same today, and we'll see what kind of response we get. But if anyone's had an experience with this, do let us know, because I'd like to know if there's a way of fixing this. Maybe there is a simple solution to this, but switching browsers just to get to a table is just nonsense. You shouldn't have to do that.
No, absolutely. Especially, I mean, a table is such a common element. It's not like it's a weird JavaScript or something like that. There should be absolutely no reason. But hey, maybe it is just a case of a glitch and it needs an update to Edge. Strange one, though.
It is a strange one, isn't it? Okay, look, stick around. We're going to talk about my MacBook because I got a new MacBook Pro. I'll tell you a bit about that. What I bought.
We know. Go on about it.
I know. I'm so excited. I mean, you know, I wasn't going to buy one.
You were.
I blame you. I actually blame you. I wasn't going to buy this thing. And then all of a sudden, I'm in the store. Here's my money. So ridiculous. Anyway, we'll get into that next. And some other big news as well. Adele takes over the music industry and the tech industry, it seems. We'll get into that.
Double Tap Canada will be back after this. This is Double Tap Canada. Have your say right now. Call or text 1-844-971-1999 or email feedback@ami.ca. Now, back to the show.
This is Double Tap Canada. No Mark this week. It's Stephen and Sean with you. Mark back with us next week. He had some other work to do, and also he's in his bed. So there you go.
Yeah, that's work.
Yeah.
Well, that is to me, yeah. We'll be as of next week when I'm retired.
Retired. Early retirement. How does that feel, Stephen?
Yeah, but see,
Scott?
The thing is, so my wife said to me, she said, yeah, but you're not retiring because you're still working, right? You're doing this radio show, you're doing Double Tap TV. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not work. I mean, if anyone's listening, yes, it is. Of course it is.
It's hard work.
Yes, AMI. Very difficult. Very difficult, hard work. Very busy. No time. But no, not really.
Wow. Are you saying we're like your hobby? We are your golf?
This is my hobby. Do you know, when I started doing radio way, way back in the bad old days, or good old days, depending how you look at them, you know, I remember thinking to myself, I am getting paid to do my hobby. How cool is that?
Yeah.
So I love my job. What does they say? If you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. Well, I have never worked a day in my life. My favourite line my wife comes out with sometimes is, she was sitting one night, and you know that thing that couples do. I think you guys may have stopped doing this.
Yes.
But you know, I don't know what it is yet.
Everything.
Okay. It's counselling. That's the solution. But my wife takes my hand and she says, you know, she says, Stephen, she says, you've got the most soft hands I've ever felt. She says, it's like you've never worked a day in your life. I couldn't argue with that. I'm like, you know, I did once have a job where I cleaned buses and made a complete horse's backside of that. But yeah, I was the only manual labour I've ever done, and I was never asked back.
Like, just keep one bus.
I'll explain that story one day. We'll maybe talk about that another time, but not today. I want to talk about my MacBook. Is it here? Hang on.
Of course it's there.
Over here.
Just wait a minute.
It's in the bag.
Yep.
It's in the bag.
What bag? What, the carrier bag or a laptop bag?
It's in a Scottish suitcase, yeah, carrier bag. So what have we got here? Yeah, so this is the MacBook. I have to move everything around the way. Move the cups out the way. Hang on. Move them over there. Put that back.
I asked him which one he bought, and he just said, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a MacBook, right? What do I know?
Well, you bought it.
But who cares?
You should know.
Who cares?
It doesn't. Okay.
These days, it doesn't matter.
Well, it does, considering how much you spend for the, you know, top-end one with the so many cores as opposed to the entry level, in air quotes.
Well, that actually is quite funny because I did buy this and I didn't even look at any stats at all about it. I just said, I just went for price.
What's in stock?
Well, exactly. That's kind of what I did. I said, what have you got? And he said, oh, I've got this one. I've got the entry-level one and I've got the middle-range one and that's it. And I said, well, just give me the middle one. And that was it. And that is literally what I did when I left the store. So when I got home and you guys were like, well, what did you get? And I'm like, actually, I don't know. So this is what I got. I can tell you, because this is what I got. I got the so it's the M1 Pro processor that's in there. It's a 10-core CPU, a 16-core GPU.
Ooh.
60, to be honest, these numbers don't mean anything to me. I'm just like, well, is that good? I mean, there's one that's got 32 in it. Is that better because it's got more?
Yes.
Right, okay. 16 gig unified memory and 1 terabyte solid state. That was the only thing I was really interested in, was a decent hard drive in there.
Wow.
16-core neural engine, 16-inch liquid retina XDR display, which is turned off. it's turned the brightness down on it, sorry. 3 Thunderbolt 4 ports, which is kind of cool. An HDMI port, it's an SD card slot, which is brilliant. And, of course, the MagSafe 3 port, the Magic Keyboard, which has got the Touch ID and the Force Touch trackpad, and the 140-watt USB-C power charger, which, of course, is the USB-C to MagSafe, which you can buy for the same... I think you can buy like a USB-C to USB-C, because that's the great thing about this. You can plug in USB-C. I was out yesterday. I was actually in the old office yesterday, and I had this with me. And it was great because they have the docking stations, the Lenovo docking stations for their laptops, and I could just take the USB-C, plug it straight in, and the MacBook was charging without having the hassle of having to bring a charger with me. But I've got MagSafe if I need it. I think that's actually the best thing about this. You've got that two option for charging, which I think that's brilliant, and it works with pretty much anything in that case.
Yeah. And USB-C is just great, though, isn't it? I mean... It's the future, I told you. It's amazing. I love USB-C. And MagSafe, of course, was a fantastic idea. And why they did away with it in the first place just blows my mind. It made no sense.
See, I was looking at the one up from that. There's one up, which has got the M1 Max processor in it. Yeah. It's got the 32-core GPU. But, you know, the problem is then you're getting into that level of performance that I just don't need, frankly. I don't need it. And that this was kind of why I wasn't so bothered about what I bought, because I knew even if I bought the base level one, I would be getting way more than I need. If Mark Aflalo was here, he would be saying, as he said to me on the phone the other day, you will never use that machine to its full capability. You just won't, because, you know, I'm not going to be creating a film on this. I might do some basic video editing, but it's going to be very basic. You know, it's not going to be heavy. Maybe audio editing more so, but not video. Not to the level that the guys who would be buying these things would be using it for. But, you know, I just like the performance. This is very superficial to say, but I love big laptops for a couple of reasons. One, the sturdiness of this thing. I mean, I won't do the drop test, obviously, but this is a beast. I mean, this thing is heavy. And it's lovely. And it's got that, you know, that it's much thicker. I wouldn't say it's as thick as the MacBook. Maybe it is. But I think the MacBook Pros of old, the 2015 one I remember having, that seemed thicker than this. But in terms of weight, definitely has that weight behind it. You can feel that. And I like the fact it's got a big wrist rest, you know. I've got big hands. I'm a big guy. I don't want to be trying to squeeze my hands into this space to work. I want to feel free. And this lets me do that. And the speakers on it are... Mwah!
Yeah, everyone has said the speakers. Almost you don't need external speakers. And it just blows any other laptop totally away. They've done an amazing job.
I'd love to put this up against the XPS, the Dell XPS, because that is, I guess...
Well, buy one.
Yeah, I'll just buy one and find out. I was tempted, I'll be honest, but I don't need one, so I really don't need one. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit later about Windows, because that was one of the things that kind of put me off the Mac a while back. When M1 came out, you couldn't put Windows on there. That might be coming, that might be changing. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, basically the design of this thing, sturdy, solid, powerful. It does have its issues in terms of software. I'm less bothered by that because that's something that can be fixed. But the hardware from Apple is at a stage where, frankly, it doesn't matter what you walk in and buy. If you bought the base level Mac Mini, base level MacBook Air, or the top of the range MacBook Pro, you're going to get a great experience. I chose this for one reason only. I wanted a machine that was big, that was powerful enough, and I wanted one with a decent hard drive in it. I'd have gone for a 2 terabyte if they had one in stock. But the cost for they had one that was like 4 terabytes, which sounded great, but the cost was just ridiculous. Yes. And I thought, I don't need all that. It was, to be honest, it would be cheaper just buying a 4 terabyte drive and plugging it in.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right.
So that's why I actually did. Well, I didn't. I've got a 1 terabyte SSD from OWC. They very kindly sent me out. So I've just got that plugged in.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's nice to know.
Very pleasant.
Hello, OWC. I am also here. Hello. My name's Sean.
They don't care.
Nice to meet you.
It was. I'm not sure what the cost was cost would be in Canada. I don't have my Canadian friend here to quickly source this, but in the UK it was $2,600 was the cost, and a bulk of that cost was gone for me because Apple love me. I wish that were true. But no, because I had trade-in. I had lots of stuff to trade in, and I mean a lot.
You did. I just asked our Lady A here, 4,400 Canadian.
Oh, there you go. Right, okay.
Which seems quite a lot, Stephen Scott, I must say.
Well, I mean, I'd say £1,400 of that disappeared on trading. So that's not so bad. So I saved a good bit of cash.
So as long as you've got £1,400 worth of other products to trade in,
then it's an absolute bargain. No, I love it. I love it. I really do. And I think it's the best. It's the best machine I've had. And I know I've said this before, but I remember back when I got my 16-inch, well, it was 15-inch, wasn't it? The MacBook Pro I got in Canada. I loved that machine.
Yes.
But what happened to that machine was M1. M1 came along and just blew it away. And had that not happened, I'd still be using that machine today. It was a good machine. It did heat up a lot. It did struggle. Even though it had the power in it, it would struggle. It would fall over easily.
It had the power, but you couldn't use it because it over thermal throttling again. And that's why they had to move away from Intel.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, this thing doesn't get warm. You don't feel, but again, I'm not pushing it. And I think that's the point. The headroom here is just insane.
Yeah.
So I don't need to worry about, you know, doing too much on it. The thing that I always have this idea in my head, and I don't know if it's the case with Apple, but I always have in my head that you need extra headroom if you use a screen reader. I don't know if that's true or not. It might be
true.
I think it's true on Windows for sure. I've often said to people buying Windows machines, and I've had arguments with people about this. People say, well, if you buy a base level 8 gig machine, you know, say it's a Surface Pro, or you buy a Dell laptop, an Inspiron or whatever, you know, just buy the 8 gig and you'll get on fine. I don't agree with that. I think if you're putting JAWS on there, I think you want to make sure you've got a decent graphics card and also a decent amount of RAM, because that's how JAWS works. Have you seen people arguing that perhaps Freedom Scientific themselves need to up the minimum specs to 16 gig? You know, but as, I don't know if that's the case on the Mac. I don't think that goes the same way.
Just going back to the graphics card and JAWS thing, because I recently answered a post I saw on Facebook, and someone was saying, someone told me to get a gaming laptop because my JAWS is struggling on my current one, and that the gaming laptop is the answer. And I responded, I said, no, the graphics card has nothing to do with the performance of JAWS. It doesn't matter.
Well, it does. No, it does. Maybe not to the level you need a gaming machine, but you do need to have a fairly decent graphics card, because JAWS mirrors the graphics. It has its own driver.
Mirror driver, yes.
And that driver, if it's mirroring garbage or not a very good graphics card that's not drawing quickly enough, then JAWS is not going to respond the same way.
No, we're so far past refresh rates on just drawing and frame rate of the
screen. On some of these low-end laptops, I don't know. I mean,
on a low-end laptop, it's just going to be the inbuilt CPU-based.
Yeah, but they're not great.
Chip.
They're not great.
More than enough. Hey, if our listeners know, if you've got an opinion, email us, feedback@ami.ca.
I'm not interested in that.
I say no. Look, a gaming laptop, you're talking about spending at least an extra $500 to $1,000,
I'm not saying buy gaming laptops. No. I'll be honest, I thought that I had the Dell XPS 13 when it came out, the very, very first one that came out. And you remember we had this conversation way back.
It.
I hated it. Because the graphics were just awful on it. And actually what happened was, it was because JAWS and the graphics driver could not communicate properly. There was an issue between the two in that the screen was not drawing itself properly. It was because it was 4K. That was the problem. 4K screen. It was brand new at the time.
That's a driver issue. That's a graphics
card
driver
issue. But that affected the screen reader. You see my point?
Well, no,
so if it's not working properly, or it's not right, and it's not good enough, or it's not decent. And I think these days, having something mid-range, I would not go as far as, you know, an NVIDIA GeForce or an AMD. That seems too far. If you've got the money for it, fine, but you don't need all that.
That's what I'm saying. The gaming graphics cards will not at all affect the performance. It's all about the driver. And maybe if it's some weird graphics chipset, then maybe, but no. And I thought that Freedom Scientific were moving away from the mirrored driver model.
Well, I'd hope so. I think it's about time, to be honest. It seems a bit old hat in comparison to what we really need. I mean, NVDA doesn't do this. Narrator doesn't do this.
But then
in
maybe
some ways
it gives
they perform
them
better.
It may give them some extra options that...
That's true. That's
who
true.
Knows?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I took us off on a tangent. What were you talking about?
I've got no idea.
No, me.
Shall we talk about Adele? Because Adele's great, right? I love Adele.
She was on...
Easy on me. Yeah, all that. She's great.
Never heard of her. She was on TV the other day doing like an audience with thing, and she's just so amazing. She sounds like a character in Oliver Twist.
Yeah.
And all that. yet she sings like an absolute angel. She amazes me. She seems lovely.
There's a song called All I Ask, which my wife and I, we just love that song. And it's such a weird song that we love it because it's all about splitting up. I don't know why we like this song. Maybe my wife's trying to tell me something. I've got no idea. But yeah, we were listening to it and it was on YouTube. It was a live version. And she's on stage and she's belting out this song, and you know, the tears are flowing, and at the end she's like, that was good, wasn't it? And it was so weird just to hear this voice just emerge from her. I hadn't really, because up until that point, if I'm honest, I hadn't really followed her that closely to know much about her. I just liked her music, or was aware of her music. But no, as a person, I think she's brilliant. I love how natural and real she is.
Yes.
You know that way you think, I'd love to meet her, just to see if that really is the case?
We would be the best of friends, Adele. Just meet me, I wrote in a letter.
Why don't you come on the show, Adele? Come on the show. We'll have a laugh. We'll talk about all your music tech and stuff, because actually she's got into the tech world at the minute.
Oh, is she?
Well, sort of, because she's been... She's changed the world. Well, Spotify's world, at least, because they had to remove the shuffle button as a default option from the app. Or its app's album pages, forcing songs to be played in the order the artist intended, after Adele asked that the songs on her new album be played in the order she intended. I think this is brilliant. I think this is excellent. Spotify responded to a tweet from Adele. She said, this was the only request I had have had in our ever-changing industry. She tweeted this last Saturday. We don't create albums with so much care and thought into our track listing for no reason. Our art tells a story, and our stories should be listened to as intended. Spotify got the message and responded by saying, anything for you.
So there you go. We all love her, even Spotify.
Spotify shuffle button has gone on the album page. The option does remain visible when a user clicks to view an album track. So that's interesting. I don't know how that works. Maybe how would that work? Maybe within a track. So if you wanted to shuffle once you're listening to something, maybe.
The words in a song, you could shuffle them about.
Yes, right.
And I mean, what are they talking about?
Me on easy.
I'm going to play. I'm ignoring
that
phrase.
Just a new one from that one.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Mm. Is this a little bit pandery? I mean,
no.
not the animal. I mean, are they pandering to her? Is it because, look, I can understand it, right? Then why don't they make it just, people don't have to click on the shuffle button, right? It's not on by default. So, I mean, isn't it down to the listener how they want to listen to it? I get it. If you want to listen to something like Pink Floyd, right, where it's a story, it's like a rock opera, then you need to listen to it in sequence, and it doesn't really make sense. But that's down to the user, surely. Don't take it off every album page on Spotify.
I would say Adele's right on this. I think she's bang on, because at the end of the day, you're creating an album. As she says, I create an album in a certain way. I want people to listen to it. She wants to tell the story she wants to tell. So why can't she get that option? Well, she can get that option, obviously. People could just listen to it.
I think press the shuffle button.
I think people just do. I think people just do, or they just chuck the album into a big pile of other songs and just play it, which is not the way they want to do it.
It's almost the same argument when Netflix introduced the play speed option, right?
Yeah,
you can watch something faster. And the artists were saying, no, we take time crafting this. You watch it at our pace. No. I'm enjoying this content. I'm consuming it. It's up to me how I consume it.
Well, I agree with Adele. I think she's quite right on this one.
So do I. I love you, Adele.
Yeah. If she wants to come on and talk about how much we love her, then that's absolutely fine with me. Her new album is 30. Her first album in
order
6 years.
Up.
Yes, exactly. We'll probably be in the next album if we keep this up. New album 30. First album in 6 years, Sean. I can't believe it's 6 years since the last Adele album. There you go.
I know. Well, she's created it. It takes time.
That's true. Still more stories to talk about. And
stick it on shuffle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't put us on shuffle. That's a point. Yeah.
Let's not make more sense.
That's true, actually. Yeah. Right, stick around. More to come.
This is Double Tap Canada. We'll be back in a moment. This is Double Tap Canada. Now, back to the show.
Yeehaw! I love that.
Every time. Every time this music comes on.
I get so excited when I hear this. It almost is like the perfect coming to the end of the show music. But it's not the end of the show, because I don't want it to be the end of the show. Can we just stay on? Do you have to go?
It's a panda's name, isn't it, Shosho?
You back to the pandas again. What is this, panda day today, is it?
Could be, yes.
Cool new feature from Google. I love when Google do this. They come out with these little features or, you know, these little apps along the way. Sometimes they take them away as well, unfortunately. But, you know, this one looks amazing. This is Project Relate, which aims to help people with speech impairments communicate. And, of course, this is for people who, I guess, have got severe speech impairments. This is incredible. So they've built this app for Android, which, of course, makes sense because that's Google's thing. And they're inviting an initial group of people to test this app. And it's aimed to, hopefully as well, help facilitate interactions with the Google Assistant. Google said, "We realize that our speech recognition technology could be improved to help people with speech impairments be better understood. Standard speech recognition doesn't always work well for people with atypical speech because the algorithms have not been trained on samples of their speech." So Google decided to make an app that would be custom trained on individuals' unique speech patterns. So what you do is, to start off, you record a set of phrases on the app so that it will get to know how you talk. Then Google uses speech data to personalize the technology and help users carry out commands. Three key features in this app, really. Listen obviously transcribes what someone is saying in real time, allowing them to send what they've said as a text copy and paste into other applications, or you can let people read what you're saying. Repeat restates what someone says in a clear computerized voice, hopefully making face-to-face interactions more seamless. And lastly, the assistant connects with the Google Assistant to carry out commands such as take a selfie, turn off the lights, or play music. Now, they're looking for English-speaking testers in Canada, the US, Australia, and New Zealand to try this app out and give feedback. So, you know, if you can, you should absolutely go and do this. g.co/projectrelate. g.co/projectrelate is the website, and the team will respond once you've done that. But this, of course, follows on from other apps they've created as well, like Live Transcribe. Lookout as well. Live Transcribe provides real-time speech-to-text transcriptions.
Amazing feature, that. Absolutely amazing.
Lookout, which I've got to say is a brilliant application. If you've got an Android phone and you're blind or low vision, you should really have this. Identifying food labels, pinpointing objects in a room, scanning documents, currency, an incredible app. We've talked about it on Double Tap TV before, and it is such a good app. I've got to say, Google are good at this. They are really good at this stuff, and they really, because what they do is they bring their teams in and they focus them on these apps. And I'm sure this is the case with other companies as well. But to be fair, Google and Microsoft are really the two companies at the heart of this at the moment. It seems that Apple provides the hardware platform, and Google and Microsoft are really creating the apps. You know, Microsoft Seeing AI, Microsoft Soundscape, that kind of thing.
Amazing. And the secret comes down to artificial intelligence and machine learning, doesn't it? Because Google's got this vast amount of data through the Google search engine and other services, you know, like Gmail
gurgle.
Itself.
Pandas, gurgle.
Stop it. The Gmail email service itself, you know, allowing Google to scan the emails, a big privacy like concern at the time. But by doing that, they've got this huge amount of data, which makes their OCR so great, which makes their speech recognition so amazing. So that's why they're so good at this. And this makes total sense to me. And I'd be really surprised if other companies such as Amazon and Apple aren't doing a similar thing, but not making it sort of open to the public. I know this is invite only, but still making it sort of open facing, where you can download an app and train it to your own personal way of speaking. I think that's amazing, and I hope this goes further.
I think that's the difference between what we've seen before in terms of building applications. I mean, people often say to me, what's the real benefit of AI? I think it is that personalized approach. So instead of creating an app that fits everybody, the fact that you can then use AI to train that app to suit you. So you have a baseline, you've got a foundation of this is what the app does, yes. This is what it is. But in order for it to work properly, you know, here are your individual tools. So, I mean, I can see this going further in terms of personalization. I was thinking about my banking app the other day. The text on it's tiny, right? Now, it's fine because I use VoiceOver. It's not a problem. But being able to go in and say, and we see a little bit of this now with in-app on the iPhone anyway, under VoiceOver, you can now go to in-app specific options.
Per app options.
You can now say, I want the larger text on here and I want this. It's not working perfectly at the moment for some apps because all the apps need to essentially work with Apple. I guess they've got to build in the functionality to allow you to do it. But the fact is, it's getting there. And I think that's the thing. We're going to see, I think the big thing for 2022 and beyond is going to be personalization to the extent that someone who has trouble speaking because of their voice, they can't communicate. They will be able to communicate with this technology. There's some demos of this online and it's powerful stuff. Really, really powerful stuff. Look, before we go, tell me about the Home Alone Pet camera that you were telling me about this week.
Oh, wow. I mean, this just blows my mind. So I didn't know this was a thing, but apparently so. High-tech toys for pets. And this is a camera. Well, this does everything. But this is a camera where you can call in and video call with your pet. But, okay. You know what? I get that. I've got, you know, I could drop in on my Amazon show and just check the house if I'm out or whatever, if I could see. That would be great. I get it. Make sure he's not chewing up the furniture. But with this one, they can answer the call by swiping a ball in this toy, or they can initiate the call so they can ring you. I mean...
Wow. That is so ridiculous. It is beyond belief. And can I tell you, the price of this thing, $350. Come on.
Bargain.
Oh, I mean, I know pet lovers love their animals, and I do. I love my dogs, but I just...
You're not buying him a smartphone.
I might. I don't know. I actually quite like the sound of this thing. Look, that's it for us this week. Mark Afalalo back with us next week, all going well. We will be back with you, of course, next week again. Keep in touch with us. Keep your feedback coming. Let us know your thoughts on Edge if you've been using it, because I'd really like to hear your take on that. We will, of course, be back for another week of Double Tap Canada. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and keep your feedback coming. Call 1-844-971-1999 and leave us a voicemail. Email feedback@ami.ca. We're also on Twitter @DoubleTapCanada and on Facebook. Can't wait till next week? Ask your smart speaker to play Double Tap Canada or listen on the podcast app of your choice. Thanks for listening. Catch you again next time.
The Walrus is Canada's conversation, and you're invited to take part. Download AMI's Voices of the Walrus, where professional narrators read selected articles from the magazine. Available wherever you download your AMI podcasts.